this morning we're going to finish our series on Philippians. So we're going to turn to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 10. We're going to sort of sum up this entire chapter. We have talked about this one several times over the last couple of years, and so you can go back and look at your notes if you have notes and reread it and listen to messages from the past. But I really want to focus in on one scripture that I think brings this entire chapter together. The Bible is for you and me, but it was written a long time ago in context so that we could take the context of that scripture and understand what God was saying to you and me today. And the context of everything that you do every day, you say things that if somebody were to grab one sentence out of your day and tell everybody about it, it would sound horrible. Our former music pastor, Jeremy Campbell, used to do this to me on Sunday mornings. He would save one little quote that I had said, and he would leave out the ending, the beginning words and the ending words, and it would say, if he ever makes this stuff public, people are going to think I'm horrible. Because it would start off with, God loves you and he's not going to kill you. And then all of a sudden it would turn into, he's going to kill you, you know. And so it's just, you got to know the context of the scripture. And the scripture we're going to look at today is so important. It's so important. But sometimes we take it out of context. And so we're just going to work on that this morning. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 20. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. Now let's back up and give the context of this scripture. Paul has been imprisoned. Paul is chained to a guard. Some of his friends are allowed to stay nearby, but Paul is not allowed to work, so he hasn't been able to make any money. Paul was known as a tent maker. He would take time out when he would travel all over preaching the gospel and starting churches. He would take time out to make a living, and then he would head out again and tell more people about Jesus. Well, he couldn't do that right now. He couldn't make a living. And the Philippian church understood that, and they wanted to help him financially while he was imprisoned. So he says, "How I praise the Lord that you were concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Now, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation." Now watch this. "Whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty." So let's stop there for a second. So Paul says to them, look, I gave you, or you took opportunities to bless me and to help me. You knew I couldn't make a living right now, so you took money out of your own pocket and you sent it to me. He was taking time out to say thank you and just to appreciate them for doing this. Paul wasn't known to send out requests. Hey, I'm in trouble over here. Can you send me some money? He didn't have GoFundMe, none of that, all right? He was just on his own. And so he worked hard, he made a living, but people that he had been a blessing to, people that he had invested in and poured his life into, understood or felt his importance in their life, and then were willing and wanted to share with him. So he just wanted to say thank you to all of these people who had done it. In the middle of this thank you, he kind of embeds this message. Now remember, he has already said, have joy, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He's constantly reminded them that it's not about your circumstances, it's about your relationship with God. So in the middle of this, in verse 11, he says this, "Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything." I love the old story about the airline pilot who was flying over the Tennessee mountains, and he pointed down at a little lake to his co-pilot, and he said, "See that little lake down there?" And the co-pilot said, "Yeah." He said, "When I was a kid, I used to sit in a rowboat in that lake fishing, and every time an airplane would go over, I would wish I was flying in that airplane. And now every time I fly over that lake, I wish I was in that rowboat fishing." Now, Contentment is a weird thing. Paul said, look, I know how to have a little, and I know how to have a lot. I know how to be hungry, and I know how to be full. He's explaining to us that it's not our circumstances that determine our level of contentment. Now, in America, we like stuff. We want things to be just right. And yet contentment is always just a little further away. I've used this analogy so many times. We all think, if I could just get the new car, I would just be happy. 45 days later, the payment book comes in. You're like, I wish I had my old car back. I didn't need this new car nearly as bad as I thought I did. It's that contentment thing. Now, there's a time to buy a car. We all know that. But we go after this thing, go after a lot of things, thinking that if we can get it, we'll be happy. We get it, and we find out we were happier before we got it. God is working in us to develop this contentment thing. But it's an ongoing journey. He has to continue to work on us. Paul took this minute to say, look, I'm good. You've blessed me, but I'm not in need. And he was really saying, if you send money or you don't, I'm going to be good. I'm going to be all right. Because I know in the King James Version, it says, I know how to abase and I know how to abound. I know how to have a lot. I know how to have a little. I understand how this works. I'm going to be okay. Because I know that God is in control. Sometimes as we're seeking more stuff and we're seeking satisfaction in our life, we overlook contentment. Because really, contentment is not about satisfaction. And because we can be satisfied and still not be content. You can be full. You can get up from a giant meal and your appetite has been satisfied. You ever do this one? Whew, that was great. We have anything sweet here at the house? So I can we got any of those Oreos left? I think I'll have a cup of coffee. You know, we're satisfied, just not content. There's just that one other thing. So I want to give you a definition of contentment. I think this ought to be the bullseye of our life. Look at the screen. Contentment, it's an inner sense of rest or peace that comes from being right with God and knowing that He is in control of all that happens to us. Let's go back to the Old Testament for just a second. Job, the Bible calls him in the King James Version, a perfect man. He was a good guy. He was wealthy. God had blessed him. He had a bunch of kids. He had all kinds of livestock. He was looked up to. And the Bible says that one day Satan was looking for somebody to tempt. And God said, this is important, God said, have you considered my servant Job? You ever feel like God set you up? This was that moment. Everything was going great. Job was satisfied. And yet, God said, hey, Job over here, he's perfect and he's got a great family and he's just got a lot of money. Have you considered tempting him? And Satan perks up. Yeah, I always like to take down a big fish. That's not what he said, but that's what I think he said. I always like to get a big guy and bring him down to his knees. And he starts to attack him. And God said, the one thing you can't do is kill him. I'm not going to let you kill him. And so Job starts this journey of losing family and losing money and all that went along with that. But Job was faithful to God in the middle of that. Job understood some stuff. Even the people who came to comfort him were not much of a comfort. Some of his best friends showed up and just looked at him for days on days on days. If you just come and look at me, I'm like, just get out of here, just go on. I don't need you. Either encourage me or hit the road. And Job stuck with it, and he was content. It's about understanding that I'm right with God, and it's also understanding that God is in control of my circumstances. Everything that happens in your life, everything that is happening in your life and my life right now, God, for some reason, allowed it to happen. I wish He would check with me more often before He does this stuff. There's some things I'd like for Him to change right now. I don't appreciate it. Now, He gave me, He gives all of us contentment in the middle of imperfect circumstances if we want it. Contentment is not denying my feelings about wanting something or desiring what I don't have. Instead, contentment is about the freedom of not being controlled by that desire. That I'm not controlled by wishing things were different. And I'm not caught up in just hoping for things to be different. But I understand that right here, right now, God is in charge. Paul is imprisoned. We've talked about him over and over. He's very likely that he could die in this whole process of being imprisoned. He could be accused. He's already been accused. He could be convicted. He could be executed. And yet in the middle of all this, he says, look, I'm good. I know how to have a lot and have a little. He's already said, look, I'm good if I live or if I die. It was about real, true contentment. It wasn't just him saying it. It was real. Because contentment is a heart job. Contentment is something that's happening on the inside with the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and mine. I can't just make it happen. I can't just decide one day I'm going to be content. I've got to be surrendered to Christ. And we're going to talk about that more as we get along in this message. We all have a choice, though, if we're going to surrender to this process or not. Some of us live as thermometers, and some of us live as thermostats. A thermometer just reflects the temperature of its environment. A thermostat sets the temperature of its environment. Now, I have to decide which one I'm going to be. A thermostat reads the temperature of the room. I'm sorry, a thermometer reads the temperature of the room. Thermometer just tells you, okay, it's 72 degrees in here right now. That's it. It just repeats what's already happening. A thermostat says, I see what's happening, but I'm not going to just give in to it. I know there's more. It regulates the temperature. It helps control the temperature of the room. And contentment is what is the thermostat of your life and mine. Things around me look bad, but I understand that God's in control, and I'm not just going to sit down and fall into depression. At least that's not the plan. God wants you and me to stand up and say, Lord, I trust you. I know you can take care of this. Contentment says, I can't control the undesirable circumstances in my life, but I'm not going to sit around and reflect on those uncontrollable and undesirable circumstances all the time. I'm going to focus on something different. So what do I do in all this? How do I focus on that? Well, let's look at verse 11 again. Not that I was ever in need, for I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret. This is important. Anybody ever tell you a secret and don't tell anybody this and you just want to go tell somebody? This is that kind of secret. Paul's like, I got a secret. But you can share it with everybody, all right? I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. So what's the secret? Look at verse 13. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. There's the secret. Sometimes we get so caught up in I have a lot or I have a little that we forget. Have you ever noticed that the more you have, the more you want? So contentment is not just about people who are struggling financially or having hard times. Contentment is about people who already have a lot of stuff and they're doing great. Because our tendency is, I want more, give me more, make my life easier, make my life better. A lot of times we spend a lot of energy in our lives trying to make sure that our comforts are better instead of our character. And God is working on our character. God is trying to do something in me, not just around me. So when we take this scripture, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength, he says, I've learned the secret of this thing. I've learned that the secret is not me and my willpower. I've learned that the secret is not making my circumstances different. I've learned that I can do everything through Christ because he gives me strength. But here's what we do with this scripture. Verse 13, we often use this scripture out of context. We make it say something that it does not say. We do this in two ways. Here's the first one. We take it out of context and we apply this verse to things like thriving and prospering and reaching goals. We're trying to lose 10 pounds, and we go, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I can deny myself Oreos. We're thinking about thriving and prospering and reaching goals. I can do it. I can save money. That's great. That's great. But in the context of this scripture, he's not talking simply about thriving and surviving. He's talking about being in the middle of some horrible circumstances. Paul is speaking about imprisonment and separation from people he loves and a lack of finances and wrongful accusations and persecution. And he is saying, I can do all this through Christ. It's not just a motivational quote to get us to get up in the morning and go accomplish more and make more money and build on our goals. That's not the context. The context is, this is a horrible situation, but I can do it. I got this through Christ. Not through me, not through my ability and my power, but through Christ. He was saying, I can carry on in the middle of these terrible circumstances. Here's the second way we get this scripture off base sometimes. We focus on the I instead of Christ. For I've actually quoted this scripture myself in this way. I put the accent, the emphasis on I. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. What a terrible way to interpret that scripture. Anytime I put the emphasis on me when the word Christ is in the scripture, I am way off base. He said, for I can do everything through Christ. Not I can do everything. A lot of times we stop there. I can do everything because Jesus loves me. That's not what it says. It says, I can do this. I can handle this because Christ is with me. He's the one who gives me strength. When we focus in on me, when we focus in on I and what I can do, and the weakness that comes along with I, and the failure that comes along with me, and the depression that comes along with me, and the missed opportunities that comes along with me, when I focus on me, I start to get off track. Paul said, look, I can do this when I have a lot, and I can do this when I have a little, because I have Jesus on my side. When I focus on me, I focus on limited ability. When I focus on Christ, I focus on his unlimited power. When I focus on me, I'm focusing on someone who is fallible. And when I focus on Christ, I'm focusing on somebody who's perfect. When I focus on me, I got limited resources. When I focus on him, I'm focused on the creator of the universe. When I focus on me, I just got worries about the future. When it's all about I. And when I focus on Christ, I'm focusing on the one who knows the future and controls the future. This is never about me. Contentment is not based on what I can do. Contentment is based on what he's already done. When I trust in the sovereignty of God, we're going to cut this a little bit short this morning. When we trust in the sovereignty of God, we're kind of like a drop of water just flowing down a river sometimes. We have no control over anything. If you could control your family and control your money and control your boss and control, your life would look completely different. Amen? Can't do it. Doesn't work that way. Like the story of the two teardrops that were floating down the river, and one of the teardrops looked at the other and said, who are you? Teardrop said, I'm the teardrop that fell from the eye of the woman who lost the man she loved. And said, who are you? And that teardrop said, I'm the teardrop from the woman who got the man that you lost. Contentment. Contentment. I don't have this all figured out. Let's come on to the piano, everybody. I don't have this all figured out. And I will never have this all figured out. You ever catch yourself waiting for the moment that everything in your life is finally going to line up the way you want it to line up? Here's what we do. Boy, if we can ever get past this. Boy, if we can ever take care of that. Oh, if we could ever finish that thing. Oh, if we could ever save this much money. Oh, if I could just make it to retirement. Oh, if I could just get married. Oh, if I could just get my kids out of the house. I'm sorry. If. And we think that if we can get to that point, then this contentment is going to come, and we get there. And contentment is not waiting for us there. Contentment was waiting for us way back there in the middle of those horrible circumstances. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I can't let go of a habit without Jesus. I can't stop worrying about money without Jesus. I can't make a better marriage without Jesus. I can't deal with the negativity around me without Jesus. It's not about satisfaction. It's about contentment. Lord, I want you to do something in my life. I want you to do the work in me. I want you to stand with me if you would. I want to ask you this question. What is one area of your life that you're constantly thinking about and hoping that if we can just fix this, things are going to be all right? What is that area of your life? Is it about your job? Is it about money? Is it about a family member that is on the wrong path? What is it? Paul said, look, I know I might die here. They might execute me. That's all right. I've never said that one yet. I die. Whatever. We don't operate that way very often. You got to get this contentment thing has to grow. Paul had already had a lot. He's experiencing a little. And he said, look, to live is Christ, but to die would be gain. Said, when I have a little bit to eat, I'm all right. When I have a lot to eat, I'm all right. It's not about circumstances. It's about focusing in on the secret. I can do all things through Christ. I don't know about your life, but mine is so full of stuff. Just stuff, just busyness and decisions and noise from every direction. And sometimes I just think, boy, if I can make it till January could just get here. I mean, are you sick of 2022? I'm sick of 2020. Well, if we can just get this, if we can just get that, and Paul is saying, you're wasting your time. Because this world is never going to be perfect. So he's talking to these people in Philippi who have sent him money to help support him during this terrible time in his life. And in the middle of saying thank you, he's like, I just want to remind you, whatever your circumstances are, Jesus is the answer to this. And he might leave you in those circumstances a little bit. And you might not like them. He'll be where you did. He'll be with you in those circumstances. In the Old Testament, the three Hebrew children were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace because they followed God. And as those who threw them in the fire are looking in, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are not dying in the flames. And these same flames had just killed the people who threw them in the fire. They're just walking around. And the statement is said from outside the flames. Or the question is asked, How many people did we throw in there? And somebody says, three, sir. And he says, well, it looks like there's a fourth man in the fire. And the Old Testament says, and he looks like the Son of God. I don't want to be in a fire. I hate being in a fire. I'm talking about an everyday life fire. You ever feel like your life is a dumpster fire? That's what I'm talking about. Nobody likes a fire. But in the middle of the fire,
Hallelujah.
Christ, the Son of God, is in the middle of the fire with us. What's going on in your life right now that you need to release to the Lord? What's going on that you need to say, God, I want some contentment, but I want you to answer. I want you to work miracles. I want you to do big stuff. But in the meantime, while we're waiting, Lord, I want some contentment. What is it you need to ask God for right now? Let's do it. Father, we thank you so much. Lord, we want our circumstances to change, and we do spend a lot of time praying about symptoms, Lord, the things that we want to change in our life. God, we spend an enormous amount of time asking you to change stuff, and your word tells us to, and that's okay. But Lord, just like Paul, we want to be men and women of contentment, that we can do all things, everything we need to do, we can do it in Christ. As you are there with us in the fire and in the flame, Lord, we just give it to you today. Lord, we pray that you would supernaturally give us peace and joy and remind us of your sovereignty, Lord, that you are in charge and you are in control no matter what is going on. Lord, if there are circumstances in our life we don't like, God, for some reason you've allowed it to happen and you're working all things together for good to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. We just give you praise, Lord. We thank you for listening. We thank you for helping us. We give you praise right now for all that's coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give him some praise, everybody. Amen. 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 We're going to sing this song together in just a minute. If you don't know Jesus, listen, you're missing out on the best thing that could ever happen, a relationship with Christ. If you don't know Jesus, it's pretty simple. I like to say it's as easy as A, B, C. First, we have to admit that we've sinned. B, we got to believe in Jesus. And C, we got to confess him as Lord of our life. I want you to pray that prayer. Whatever words you want to use to pray that prayer and move toward God, I want you to take a minute and just surrender your life to him. Just admit that you've sinned and believe in him and confess him as Lord and let him do the work in your life. Let him do the work. Move toward him this morning, and I believe he's going to show up in a big way. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing right now. Lord, if there's one person listening this morning that doesn't know you, I pray, Lord, that more than anything, they would know you and put their life in your hands and trust you. Lord, receive this time of worship that we're about to give to you. In Jesus' name.